you today, if you'd turn with us to the book of Psalms, chapter number 78. The book of Psalms, chapter number 78. I wanted to have plenty of time preaching today, and I think something very timely and needful for our church, our community, our country. Psalm 78. If you're glad you got a Bible, say amen. I'm glad the Lord has entrusted some men with it in this day and hour. I want to do my part of what God has in, what God has entrusted me with. I don't think people sometimes realize the trust that God has put upon His preacher to proclaim the Word. And then I don't think the people realize the responsibility that God has given every one of us to hear the Word. The Bible said in the book of Psalms, chapter 78, verse 1, give ear. In other words, get everything else out of your mind. I want you to give ear to what I got to say. Now, you'll notice He never said that many times in your Bible. But He said, I want you to hear what I've got to say. He says, give ear. And look, He's not talking to just anybody. He's talking to His people. You know why? His people's always been expected to do different than other people. But I want to say something. This Word of God is for all people. For my people, to my law. It is God's law. We didn't write the Bible. God wrote the Bible. And He says, incline your ears to the words of my mouth. Now, if God's got something to say out of His mouth, I want to hear what He's got to say. Because it does matter. Then He says, I will open my mouth in a parable. He said, I will utter dark sayings of old, which have heard and known and our fathers have told us. I want to say I sure am glad I had a daddy that told me about the Bible. He said, we will not hide them from their children. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. And His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. That the generation to come might know them. Even the children which should be born. Who should arise and declare them to their children. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandment. I want you to look around here this morning at the children. Look at the responsibility that grandparents and mama and daddies have today with just the simple statement of children and grandchildren. You may be seated this morning. Thank you for standing. I love our church. I love our church family. Father, we thank You for Your goodness today. We thank You for the Word of God. Help me to preach that which You've put in my heart and spirit. I pray, Lord, that Your Word would go out with power today and change lives. I pray, Lord, that You'd steer us and guide us. You would challenge us. God, I want to pray for these families today. God, in an ever-changing world, I pray that the Word of God would be real in their lives. Help our sick in our church. God, those that are hurting spiritually, emotionally, God, physically, I pray for them today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And amen. I want to preach this morning on a generation to come. And here in the Word of God, I think it's three points that I want to try to get across today. And I felt the urgency to go ahead and preach early this morning, because I think we're late on preaching. Our country is in chaos. And you know, I can get up and I can rant and rave. We all see Fox and we read the papers. But I'm going to tell you, the structure of our country is decaying. And the reason it's decaying, there's been a generation gap. Somebody needs to bridge the gap. And I can be the most mean-spirited preacher that anybody's ever heard this morning, but that ain't going to fix nothing. But the Word of God is the only thing going to fix something. So I would challenge you today to just listen to your preacher some 30, 40 minutes this morning. And I wish you'd take some, we should underline some things in your Bible. I wish you'd really give the Word of God your ear today. Now, I want to say about this generation to come, it's very important. These little ones that came and did their giving today, they're not only in our church today, but when me and you leave out, they better know something about what to do in church tomorrow. And listen to me, they're not learning it at the ball field. They're not learning it so pitifully at the schoolhouse. But they need to be hearing it at the church house. And this is the only way that you can hear it at the church house is if you're here. It's so important. We've got a generation gap. Now, notice what the Bible said. There's the recognizing of a generation gap. Now, he said, verse 3, which we've heard and known, and our fathers have told us. I'm glad that there has been a generation past that pointed us to Christ. In Genesis, and you hold your place right here, you won't have to turn with me because I want you to stay in this text today, but I want to read a few other texts. In Genesis chapter number 7, God made a statement here about Noah. The Lord said to Noah, "Come thou and all thy house and the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." A generation is a time span in which God entrusts people to do as the Word of God says do. And so therefore we have seen that in a generation past, that generation clung to God and lived by the Bible. Now there's a generation past. Then there was a generation that was peculiar. In Titus chapter number 2 and in verse number 14, I want to read this verse. It says, "Jesus, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." So recognizing a generation gap. There was a time when the generation of our fathers, they lived by the Word of God. They taught the Word of God. And now we even have a generation of preachers now that has left the Word of God and has went to the things of the world in order to try to build their church. Liberty Baptist Church, we are nothing without the pure Word of God today. The Word of God is still true. The Word of God has got to be preached and adhered to in the generation that we live. I'm 55 years old. There's a generation of my generation that knows very little of God. You take Brother David's parents, Renee's parents, Brother Mike's parents, all across this building, you'll realize in Brother Donald's generation, the norm was simply this. We go to church on Sunday. We apply the teaching of the Word of God. We get up and we work hard on Monday. And God protected their nation. God blessed the families. They had to have God to get the corn to come up out of the ground. And so it was a very time of simple but hard living. And now today we live a life that is so luxurious and everything is so good. But you've got to agree with me this morning, we've never seen a time this bad in a nation. Now it all stems down to one thing, a generation. A generation that no longer needed God and walked to the things of the world. So now they've started raising other generations that know nothing of our God. Today, there's a generation gap. There was a generation that is past. As Noah, he was just in his generation. I want to say it's still right to do right. We in the house of God ought to not have a contract. I've had people in the church that I pastor that people would give them a word that they would pay them for a job done, and when it was done, it's just like nothing was never said. Our word ought to be very valuable today. And we ought to be teaching our children that our word is only good as our name is. Now, there's a generation past. There was a generation peculiar. But look in Psalm 78 and 3, there was a generation proclaiming. They said this, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. Now, when a nation fails to pass on its spiritual heritage to its children, then there's only one thing that can happen, and that's a turning away from God. You see, there's a decay of national character leading to ruin. There's a decay of national character leading to ruin. And I want to say this, as strong as this church is, and as this church is built upon the Word of God, I want to make a statement as your pastor today, and I mean this with all of my heart. A nation or a church does not fall from the outside, but from the inside. America will not fall because of homicide. America's going to crumble because of mass suicide. We're killing ourselves from within. And so therefore, in Psalm 78, we see there is a generation gap. But then secondly, in verse 4, there's a generation group. Now, this is where I'm held accountable, and this is where you're held accountable for this generation right now. Now, let's think about something. This is, I believe with all of my heart, I got to thinking today, the average family that I pastor, and I pastor one of the greatest churches in this country, and I know that. I know that by what I see and what I experience. But this is our culture. We have gotten so busy. I've noticed this. If the devil can just get us so busy, then we don't take time for the Word of God. We come in, our tongue has run out, our car's out of gas, and the clock is ticking. But somewhere, church, you've got to learn that you've got to disconnect from what's happening in this world and get in your Bible. There's a generation gap, but there's a generation group, and that's where I want to preach at today. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter number 6, I want you to turn there with me this morning, in Ephesians chapter number 6, and I want you to look in verse number 1. And children, I want you to turn in your Bible today. Listen, if your child don't have a Bible, I don't say this arrogantly, come see me. Our church would be glad to get them a Bible. Just let me know. I'd love for them to have a Bible that you say, well, preacher, will they mark in it? Well, let them mark in it. If just be sure they got them a Bible. I'd rather have them a Bible that they'd mark in it and not have a Bible. That's my perspective on it. But turn to Ephesians 6, verse 1. Now, I want to ask you something. If America would just take simply these four verses to heart, look how it would change a generation. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, that sounds like an easy statement, but you think about how that would fix a lot of chaos. I seen last week on national news where a principal in the school was struck on the head and took to the ER because chaos broke out in the classroom. You know why? There's no authority on children. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment of the time. I want to say something right there. You may be gone from home, but you still better learn that God blesses those that respect their elders. Watch this, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke, or don't urge along, your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembleness and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Now, I want to say something about parenting today. I hear a lot of people that get up and they preach on raising children, but they've never had none. I hear a lot of preachers talking about how they'd pastor a church, but they've never given the responsibility of pastoring one. And Daddy always had this saying in Tennessee, boy, everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of it. I want to say children are different. As me and Renee have raised Macy and Megan, we love them children with all of our heart, but they're different people. There's not a cookie-cutter approach, but I want to give you some Bible principles today about raising your children and your grandchildren. And I want to say this something about grandchildren. There's sometimes a fine line where you've got to realize that they're the parents, but you can still give them advice in the right way and not get in trouble. Now, I want to say this. When my grandchildren come to my house, they do as I say do. No questions asked. I mean, there ain't much whooping going on with them. I used all that on Megan and Macy, but I want to say there is a fine line there. And this is the thing about our assembly today. There's many grandparents here that's raising your grandchildren, so you've got to do it. They're counting on you to do it, and there's a generation counting on you to do it. And ultimately, this is the main deal. There's a God counting on you to do it. And we are so blessed here to have the stability of home life and structure that we have in our families. Because I believe this with all of my heart and all of my soul. This church is only as strong and glueable as our families are. You say, well, preacher, you've been preaching on family 6 weeks. I need to preach on it 60 years. We've got to have a stability in this generation. Now, raising our children. You'll notice that he said, bring them up. Now, we ought to enrich our children. He said, nurture. It says a tender plant. Me and Renee this year, we spent some of our time on going getting new plants, putting out on a farm, trying to get things ready for down the road. And I've noticed this. Oh, Lord, this is... I've noticed the further that we plant these plants from water, the more we got to tote water. And we put some in the pine thicket coming in, and we come in the other night, and they hadn't had water on them. And so we went, and we got 5 gallon buckets. We run it full of water. I went and poured a 5 gallon bucket on each bush, and it's amazing what that plant looked like tomorrow. So plants are tender, and you just don't throw them to the side and let them offend for their self, because I can tell you right now, they're going to die. So it is with our children. They are as tender plants. They've got to be nurtured. They've got to be seen about. And so here, as Paul's writing to this church at Ephesus, he's telling them about their children, and he says that you must enrich your children. Then we ought to educate our children. We ought to educate them in the ways of life and the ways of the Lord. It's very important. Now listen, I hear a lot about homeschooling. It's great. It's wonderful. I know what's in our public schools, but I also know what's in some of our homeschools. But wherever your children are today, educate your children that the world, you better be careful in it, and the Word of God is still right. Enrich your children and educate your children. Now, it's amazing to me. Y'all know that my life has changed a lot in the last 5 or 6 years. Me and Renee has been in a life-changing, shifting with grandchildren and ministry and the workplace. And I've never been much in the ball fields at all. And so as Parker and Olivia starting to play, then Renee's went and bought us these 2 chairs to set at the field. And I'll be honest with you, I enjoy that. But it amazes me just as a preacher as I just scan and look at what everybody's children is doing. And not only what they're doing, but how their parents are acting. And so, today, learn to educate your children. Third, you ought to encourage your children. That word admonish means to counsel, to encourage, and to discipline. We ought to encourage our children. You've got some great kids. And when they do good, you ought to encourage them. I had a daddy. Had one of the greatest daddies in the world. He was so busy working, providing. I'm serious. We hardly had nothing. But I always, Brother Chuck, all I really wanted, and all I really wanted out of him was just to say, Ken, good job. That would have went so far with me if he had just said, Ken, you're doing good with things, and I'm proud of it. You know, if I could have just heard, I'm proud of you, it would have changed a lot of things. Because I was always yearning for him to say that, but he never would say it. I want to ask you today, do you encourage your children? when they do something that's positive, do you say, that's good? Last night, the grandkids was playing in a sandbox, and I noticed right at dark, the grandkids started picking up all them toys, just little things, to put them back where they belong. And you know, I said, that's a good job. We ought to encourage our kids to want to be doing good. Encourage them. Educate them. I want to say something about education passing. I wished I had more. I don't belittle it. We've got people here that are doctors. No lawyers. We're going to need some. And I think a child should do all they can do with education, but don't forget the main thing. That's the Word of God. That's being saved. If your kids don't get saved, if your mom and daddies don't get saved, there's a hell that's still a burning in this day and hour. Don't forget the main thing. So, enrich your children. Bring them up. Nurture them. Educate them. Encourage them. I want to say, with this thing of educating them and encouraging them, I want to talk about accountability. Make them take responsibility for their actions. Accountability. We live in a generation that knows little about accountability. If we make the wrong decisions, there's repercussions. If we make the right decisions, then good things happen. So, accountability. Secondly, attitude. Ask yourself this question, is my attitude worth catching? The attitude I've got, it's handed down to my whole family. How's my attitude? Bless me if you can. How's my attitude? Is my attitude worth catching? There was a lady met me on the porch this morning. She don't even know what she done with her attitude. It's positive. She got to just bragging on the Lord. Attitudes catch. We come in here with the mully grubs and looking down, Lord, it's Sunday. I know He's going to preach to 12:20. Well, you know that before you got down here. Make the best out of it. Attitude. Is your attitude worth catching? Is everything you talk about negative? It's catching. And you're putting it in your children. You're not putting it in your children. You're poisoning your children. Your attitude. There's still the Word of God that's right. There's still a God that's blessing His children. There's still some good people in this old world. And there's still some good kids in this world. Now notice this. Kids are only going to do what they're showed to do. Encourage your children. Watch your attitude. You can't all, listen to me, you can't, this is a good phrase right here, you can't always change your situation, but you can always change your attitude. Well, we've all got enough, somebody done me wrong song, we can play a fiddle to 4:30 in the morning about it. That's life. And you know it's life. I'd love to tell you, if you'd serve God and love the Lord Jesus and be faithful to your church, and everything's going to be like this old pop lolly ship, but it ain't. It's going to be some hard waters. Going to be some hurtful times. It's going to be some times when you're sitting down at the medical place wondering, what's going on? It's going to be a time when you get a phone call and say, really? But attitude. You got to realize that the Lord knows everything that's going on and He's allowed it. Now sometimes we ask for it. But there's a sovereign God sitting on His throne that's still seeing about His children. So we can't change our situation, but we can change our attitude. Be kind. Be respectful. Be generous. Attitude. Children and their attitude. Children and their accountability. I want to say children and their adjustments. Sometimes you've got to tear their britches up. God meant what He said. I want to show you something. I heard somebody this morning, one of them talk shows getting ready, talking about children and how to discipline children. All they was talking about was hiding a Nintendo on top of the refrigerator so they wouldn't see it, throw a fit over it. And I'm not talking about child abuse. I'm talking about getting their attention and find out what it is. I had one young'un that you could absolutely smoke her britches and she'd just sort of look at you. You say you wouldn't whipping her hard enough. Well, I'd give out of breath. But I had to find something that would get her attention for adjustments. Now, look what the Bible says on discipline. Proverbs 13:24. Proverbs 13:24. The Bible says, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Be times. Like the old preacher said, every time he be needing it. Be time. Then look in your Bible, Proverbs 22:13. Proverbs 22:13. The slothful man saith, "There is a lion without, I shall be slain in the streets. The mouth of a strange woman is a deep pit. He that is abhorred of the Lord shall fall therein." Foolishness, watch here. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You don't have to teach your children to do bad things. I'll be honest with you, somebody won't like this, but it comes natural. You know why? Because we've got that old Adam nature in us where he fell in the garden and it's been handed down. Let me tell you, this old flesh I got don't do no better every day. I've got to learn to kill it and crucify it. You've got to direct your children in the right path. I've heard this right here said, and you've heard it a lot. Said, "Well, I'm not going to force religion on my child. I'm going to let them make their mind up when they get older." Well, okay, let me tell you something right there, Mary Poppins. The world's going to influence your children and don't ask nothing about it. The devil's going to influence your child. Why don't you get up and teach your children the ways of the Lord? Now, I want to say something about correcting your child. Never discipline your child when you're mad. I don't care what you got to do. I don't care if you got to go to the store and get an ice cream, double dip a butter pecan. Go get it. Don't snatch that young'un up when you're mad. You'll hurt him. And you'll do more damage than good. But discipline your child. Be consistent. This is what I see a lot with children. I mean, you'll absolutely beat the brakes off of them today for this and laugh at them tomorrow about it. They're confused. Be consistent in discipline. Consistent. No, we don't backtalk, whether it's in Walmart, Kroger, Sunday school, we don't backtalk. You ought to be teaching your children to say, yes, sir, no, ma'am, and yes, ma'am. Because that's a generation here that knows nothing about it. Just old-timey Bible basic raising. My mama never did wash my mouth out with soap. But she would whoop me a lot till I got clean. Adjustments, attitude, accountability. I want to say assignments. When I was at Pepsi, some of the greatest employees I ever got, you know where I got them from? I'm talking about assignment. They come across this line around the Ramburn, Graham, this part of the country. You know why? Because they were learned, they had chores, they had assignments. They knew what it was to work out in the fields and help Grandpa and help Daddy in everyday living. You give me a child in the city, all they know is how to turn on a Nintendo most of the time. We've got to give our children assignments. I was teaching class one night. Don't get mad at me. Maybe it's just the word we don't use no more. I was down there with a group, had a class full of young'uns. They was about this tall, I don't know what grade. And I said, how many of y'all have chores you got to do when you get home? They all looked at me like, what's chores? Maybe I should have said jobs. But I want you to get this morning. Give them some responsibility and assignments that they need to complete. Whether it's homework, it's helping you clean up the house, cut grass. Kids need structure. Y'all didn't like that, but it don't matter. I said it anyway. And then I want to say, not only adjustments and assignments, but associations. Your children are who they run with. Be careful. And let me help you right here, Mom and Dad. Be careful who you let your babies go home and spend the night with. Their child may be great. They don't mean nothing to me. What's their mom and daddy like? Associations. Watch who your children are around. You know, as I seen down in Bowden, coaches have a very important role. I admire these guys that have a team prayer before they start. So what? It's one don't believe in God. Let them go to the popcorn shed. Our problem is today because 1% of the population is making calls for 99% of the population. And I commend them for setting that role model. Some of these kids don't have a role model. In our church, when kids come in, I commend some of you for befriending these kids and loving on them and teaching them the ways of God. I commend you for that. We need role models in this day and this hour. I've had a young man came in me and Miss Renee's life the last couple of months. He gets out of school and he helps me chores that I need done. And it's been such a joy, Brother Lee, just working with that 16-year-old, just teaching him basic ethics. Don't leave my tools out in the rain. Pick them up. He keeps his little logbook of the hours he works. I get in the check and balance. Boy, he's hunting for me on Thursday or Friday. Amen. But it's wonderful. God's put him in my life for a reason. God has entrusted you with so many opportunities that you need to be thinking about this generation that's coming on. Associations, be careful where your children go. You know, this is the thing about it. You take the greatest kid in this ministry. Pick anyone you want. Some of you won't like this, but I know it to be so. You get the straightest, clean-cuttedest kid that's in this ministry, and you put he or she with the wrong crowd for 4 or 5 weeks. They don't change the crowd. The crowd changes them. Watch associations. Watch where they're going. Who you're entrusting them to. I want to say appreciation. Teach them that money don't grow on trees. Teach them that little things are big things. To appreciate what you do for them, or you're going to raise a society that's just a brat. Appreciate things. Appreciation. Teach them to say thank you. It's different. I know it's different. But I'm old school, and I ain't changing. But I want to say something. When I was a kid, you know what it was at Christmas? You had one item. You had some apples and oranges. You say, oh, them old sad tale. Oh, no, it was wonderful. I remember they gave me a BB gum on Christmas morning. It was a foot of snow on the ground in Tennessee. Brother Mark, I propped the door open. You know what I done? I shot that pack of Daisy BBs till all 50 was gone in that snow out the door, and I was so thankful. Kids, you ought to appreciate what your mom and daddy do for you. Learn to say thank you. Matter of fact, it would do us good as mom and daddies and grandparents to have more of that in our spirit and heart saying thank you. You know what God showed me down the hardware store not long ago? I went down there to buy pool chemicals. I wanted to close our pool. I wished y'all had my pool. But it's an issue there called grandbabies and Miss Preacher. So I said, okay, honey, I go get chemicals. Me and Parker go, we get chemicals. This is what he said. Walked in, go right down there, look, it's a tall chef. Talking about being appreciated. He walked in, this is what he said. He said, Pop, can I have that bow and arrow? I said, no, we're buying chemicals. Went to the back, got chemicals, checked them out. He looked at me. You know what he said? Little conniving rascal. He said, Pop, my daddy won't buy me that bow. So y'all go on and laugh. I had an option. So I told him, I said, hand me that down. Give it to him, got home. We went over yonder and got on a Kubota. Cranked it up. It was a bushel. He shot them little bows all in the yard. And that's what he's doing. I had him sitting on the fender bush hogging. And he wanted to tell me something. I'd knocked the tractor in neutral. And then he done something. He reached up and he grabbed me by the jaw. So I cut the tractor off. I said, what is it? He said, Pop, thank you for buying me that bow today. This is what the Holy Ghost told me. He said, Ken, if you would be thankful, I'd hand you a lot of stuff off the top shelf. Appreciation. Money don't grow on trees. Many of you are so blessed, but you've got to teach your children there's a check and balance. Two and two's four. If you spend eight, you're in the hole four on Friday. It's simple math. reclaiming a generation group. Lastly, releasing a generation great. Not only recognizing a generation gap, reclaiming a generation group, but lastly, releasing a generation great. Look in our text. I'm done. Psalm 78, verse 6. Miss Sherry, if you'd come this morning, I'd be grateful, sister. He said, Psalm 78, verse number 6, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. You children, you know what God has set up in this Bible? Not only for your parents to teach you, but you teach them to your children, my grandchildren. And then teach them to their children, my great-grandchildren. That way you don't have a generation gap. Do you understand the preaching this morning? Releasing a generation great. I want to say this as your preacher. I want everybody to look right here. I want to say this as your preacher. Young people, you feel the Lord stirring your heart to get saved, you ought to move by faith. And you ought to accept Him to be your Savior. We need a generation coming along that has standards and work ethics and responsibilities to stand up and be children of God in this day and this hour. Mom and daddies, I cannot encourage you enough. Stay in church. I look around families this morning, gone, several have children. Where's their teaching today? You say, well, preacher, one or two Sundays don't miss. I realize that, but it will become a habit. And then your family's totally out of church. This is what I'd like to give you the option to do today. It's up to you. I don't want to pressure nobody. I want to say, though, young'un, Jesus died for you. He loves you. He wants to do something big with you. Why don't you let Him? Mom and daddies, I want to challenge you this morning. Bring your babies around this altar. I want to challenge you to bring your grandbabies. There's plenty of room. Find you a place. Just be good to them. Be patient with them. Don't belittle them because maybe they're not doing the things you think they ought to be doing in school. Just love them and help them and teach them, nurture them. You just mind the Lord this morning with your families, whatever you need. This altar's open.